The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dan, so glad we were able to meet today.
Whoa, what's that?
It's my new FlexiSpot E7 Pro Plus standing desk. Goes from sitting to standing with the push of a button.
You know, I've been thinking about getting a desk like that. I have back pain from being in a chair all day. But I feel like they're either cheap and flimsy or crazy expensive.
That's why I went with FlexiSpot. This desk is super sturdy, but totally affordable. The base is made of automotive-grade carbon steel. Sit on it.
Okay. Hey, this is cool. All right, I want in on one of these. Where do I find FlexiSpot?
Just go to their website, FlexiSpot.com.
Right now, FlexiSpot is offering huge Black Friday and Cyber Monday savings on the E7 Pro Plus standing desk with up to $160 off. Plus, use code 20OFF right now for an additional $20 off. Go to FlexiSpot.com today and use code 20OFF to get up to $180 off the E7 Pro Plus standing desk from November 25th to the 28th only. That's FlexiSpot.com. Go to FlexiSpot.com. Come today.
And I don't know what you mean by crap on my head. I can wear hats.
Oh no, the hat, the actual noun that is a hat is was not the issue here. It's what's on the hat that is questionable.
Let's do I need to go get my Pens jersey on?
Do I need to go get my Sharks gear?
And who won that that Stanley Cup in 2016?
What?
I'm listening. Who won? Who had back to back Stanley Cups there? What? Huh? Exactly. Let's go Pens. Hey everybody, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genre First Podcast Network, where we are all Pens fans, whether we like it or not. We are on the Genreverse YouTube channel, wherever you get podcasts from, Google, Spotify, Apples, and Apples. I was going to say SoundCloud, because that's what we used to distribute from, but no, we're on Sounder now for distribution, plus all of the apps that I mentioned and more. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. I'm having an awful week. Hair's not done, hence the hat. And yeah, welcome to the show. We got social media information down below, description box or on your screen. And not only, Manny, do I have the new look with the hat, but I got some new lighting in the studio. I can't tilt my camera up for everyone, but Manny will be able to see the new ceiling fan with the RGB lights and stuff that I got installed, so I can actually kind of make the room match the colors of some of these podcasts. So sorry guys, we haven't been around all week. I had to get my permanent crown done on Monday. Tuesdays is occupational therapy day. Anyways, I should only have one more appointment left for that, hopefully. Meaning that Tuesdays, unless my wife needs me to go with her to our son's OT, me and Manny should be good to go on Tuesdays after next week. But, well, we'll see. How you doing, man? I haven't talked to you really in a while.
No, man. What the heck?
Yeah. I blame you.
I mean, I think it's just been fine. It's weird because what I do kind of for LRM, I do it now for my day job.
Yeah.
But differently, of course, very, very differently. So it's been weird to sit at the station and get paid as much as I do to do that. It's very awkward. I feel like at any time someone's gonna come in, just kidding, actually here's your real job.
Go dig a hole.
Yeah, something like that.
Do some manual labor.
Yesterday we can talk about something serious. You know, we never even talked about, we'll get into some video games in a little bit, but just your overall thoughts since we haven't talked, with your thoughts on G23.
Mm. it seems that Disney, and I say Disney because it carries over to Lucasfilm and Marvel, it seems like Disney really doesn't, I mean, they had a whole bunch of stuff at Celebration. They had a whole bunch of stuff at San Diego Comic-Con for Marvel. Celebration had Star Wars, of course. Mm-hmm. And then D23 was where the gaps were supposed to be filled in. You know, not necessarily the Phase 6 gaps, but the stuff for like the rest of 4, 5, stuff for Mandalorian. And some of that happened for the people in the audience. And it was kind of disappointing that there wasn't more stuff, because some of the footage that they showed the D23 audience was the exact same crap that they showed at San Diego. Some of it had maybe an extra scene or was recut differently, but for the most part, the way we understand it, there wasn't a lot of new stuff shown. So it felt disappointing in that light. Strictly just from a what was delivered, not hey I wanted to see this instead, but what they delivered was, it really wasn't much. And then it's like we're in this age of the digital streaming. I mean, they streamed a couple of the stages on online and stuff like that, but we're at that point now where the whole thing of making the non-attendees wait as long as they do, like I thought those days were gone.
No, I think that's still fine. I think that's important.
Well, to a degree, because the whole point was people spend money, here they go, they get to see something. But the problem with it this time was it was the same stuff that they had shown at other conventions.
That's different, yeah.
Right, so we're not getting anything new. And it's like, well, if you're going to show audience members, some of which were at San Diego, some of which were at Celebration, if you're just going to show the same crap again, why not go ahead and release that? You know, release what you released at San Diego or at Celebration. As far as what I wanted, or as far as what they did show, my feelings on Star Wars stuff, I'm cautiously excited for Andor, Mando season 3, and then geez, Cat. I don't care about Tales of the Jedi. I'm not a prequel era guy. And I don't care for the animation style of Filoni. So Bad Batch and stuff like that, don't care. On the Marvel side, sorry, Nick, but dude, I don't care anymore, man. I got a couple Marvel stories I did want to talk about after you give your thoughts on it. But I mean, most of it comes from Phase 4 being so relatively disappointing. I mean, there's some good stuff. There's some really bad stuff, but nothing in 4 has just been of the same caliber of even Phase 1 in my mind. Like if you were like you're gonna watch something Marvel, you could be Phase 4 or you could watch a Phase 1 movie. I think I'd probably watch Iron Man or the first Avengers film instead of anything in Phase 4, and that includes Spider-Man No Way Home, Doc Strange, all of the shows. Like I really do. And so when they announced all this stuff, especially Thunderbolts, and I was just like, I don't care. I mean, Thunderbolts is Black Widow 2, which could be fine, but I just don't care for the team. I don't know why Bucky's a bad guy. I don't know why Yelena's a bad guy. And that's the thing about the Thunderbolts. They were supposed to be bad guys. It wasn't just a Task Force X Suicide Squad type thing either. You know, it was a little bit different depending on the team and arc. But yeah, man, relatively disappointing. What about you? How do you feel?
Well, I think where they made the mistake is I personally believe that they revealed too much at San Diego.
That could, yeah.
The two Phase 6 projects, which were the Avengers films, should have been revealed here.
I think that was because they were trying to, I think they looked at what they were announcing and realized how lukewarm a lot of people have been on Phase 4. So I think that was like a treat, but I do agree with you.
Still, you could have just saved all the Phase, because nobody was taking anything extra at Comic-Con anyway. I mean, Warner Brothers was a snooze fest with things that you'd already knew. And if you would have revealed the two Avengers films and revealed the director there, as well as the Fantastic Four with the director there, I think that completely changes the narrative, because not now you're finally talking Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Instead of just a trailer for Secret Invasion, and everything's a secret now. Werewolf by Night. That's
Werewolf
the
by Werewolf
which,
by
which
Night.
I am very excited for, because
I'm very curious about it. Indeed.
But yeah, and then also I think my other biggest takeaway was how upset I was. And I think I talked about this briefly during our weekly call that we do for LRM, was movies like Hocus Pocus 2 and Disenchanted. I'm very excited for. I love both of the franchises, especially Enchanted is such a fantastic movie.
I don't like musicals. Don't care.
Yeah, your taste is as bland as
is gold. Is brilliant. It's the most refined entertainment taste on YouTube.
No, I don't. Anyhow, I'm very point. Point is, both of the franchises have a big following as far as fans and people who wanted a sequel. It's exclusive to Disney Plus.
Yep.
No theater release. Nope. Especially Hocus Pocus 2 would have been such a fun movie to go watch in theaters, because that one there's so many people excited for. Help out the industry a little bit. Give it a short release at least. Something. A dual release, if you want, which is what a lot of, which is like Universal and Paramount
do some of that.
They're like, hey, you want to go to the theaters? Here's your option to go to the theaters, but we want this also for our streaming service. I like that better, just because it gives
the option.
It gives the option. Is it going to be the biggest box office hit? No.
Yeah.
But you don't care, because you want it for your streaming service, but you also want to do something for the industry. It's just putting it straight on streaming is just such a selfish thing to do, especially for a bigger movie like that. And then,
careful, you'll piss off the rest of the audience we had left after talking Rings of Power last week.
Oh, we don't need those people anyway. some of those ignorant comments.
I want my streaming. I want more content for less money. And how dare you change the quality or quantity? Yeah, it doesn't work.
And then... And then to make it worse, we'll never see it on physical media.
Nope.
Also. So like it's either Disney, not it's legally. Either Disney Plus or nothing. So it's very it's very disappointing. That's what I'll say. No one asked for a Mufasa prequel.
Nope.
especially from that terrible
quote unquote live action
CG version of the movie, because that's not live action.
Yeah,
that was I laughed at that. I was like, nobody asked for this, nobody wants this. Let's move on. I think those were the biggest takeaways. I thought everything else was fine. I don't care for Star Wars. As a matter of fact, I'm opposite to you. The Filoni stuff is the only stuff I'm really invested in, because I've watched so much of it already that I'm just in on it. But I really don't. Andor is actually pretty good. I can tell you, because I've watched a couple of episodes already. It's different, very, very different. And I think that's what I enjoyed about it. And then I think my biggest disappointment for that weekend was that I expected some sort of indie something, like something, yeah. Anything.
and a lot of others.
I think that was the biggest disappointment of the whole thing. Other than that, I thought they did fine. Oh, and my thoughts on the Thunderbolt, I could care less about that. I mean, like, if there's one huge, huge problem with the Marvel Studios, is their villains.
Yeah.
Their villains are terrible.
And most of these aren't even villains. That's the thing.
You have one or two that has stand out, that stand out, right? Like Thanos, whatever, stands out pretty well.
Loki for a bit.
Loki's not even anymore.
Killmonger. I said for a bit.
Okay.
Killmonger.
Killmonger was great, yeah. Yeah, and then everything else is so Disney-fied that you kind of lose respect for kind of the whole idea of them being villains. I mean, hell, in WandaVision, Wanda was the villain, which is fine, but she either has to be the villain or not.
And then she became the hero.
Yeah.
And then they managed to have her both be villain and hero in Doc Strange 2 because of multiverse, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yelena is supposed to be a villain.
No, she's good. I mean, that's the thing, man.
It's like, if you're going to make a team of villains, you have to create compelling villains first.
Some actual villains.
Every villain in Disney, for whatever reason, has to have a redeeming quality. Why? You know, some people, like, honestly, like, to quote, some people just want to watch the world burn.
I mean, and it goes even further with like females. I'm really nervous about that female Imperial officer on Andor. I mean, let bad guys be bad guys, including if they are female. They go often out of the way. Look at Reva and the spy or turncoat in Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, they go out of their way to make all villains, but if you look at it, there, we can name a few male villains. I mean, we need some good female villains out there, guys. Like, that is a valid fucking role. Sorry about the F-bomb.
We just need villains.
It's a valid role.
I think that's the problem. And the thing is with Reva is she's a good character. I thought she was fine.
I was going to say, don't say great. she had some potential, but yeah, they wrote it stupidly.
They didn't write it right. That should have been something that was a little bit more thought out, a little bit better.
Yes.
I was stretched out, because it's a good story, but it was written very poorly.
Written very, very poorly.
Not her fault. But I mean the criticism, but it's funny because any criticism that you gave about the character, it made you a racist at one point.
no matter what.
Yeah. So that was it. Yeah. That's disappointing. I think that those were my biggest takeaways from it. Basically, was it just seems that at this point, for now, my feelings about Disney is that it's watered down.
Yeah,
very, very much diluted.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's just very diluted, and I think because they have their hands in so many different cookie jars,
Their product
is super diluted.
That's the problem. We all thought it sounded great. And guys, look, I'm always one that talks about consistency in my days, but consistency doesn't mean that you never change. It means that if and when you do change, you do it for the right reasons, that it's new input or whatever. We were all really, really stoked a few years ago when they were like, man, we are going to pump out so much MCU stuff that you guys are just going to, you're going to be inundated with it. And we all were like, yeah, shows, 3 or 4 shows a year, 3 or 4 movies a year. And now I'm like, can we get maybe 2 shows and 3 movies a year? And that's it. Like, 2 shows, 3 movies. That's it. Because doing so much has watered it down, like you said, in order to get the content out. I mean, holy crap, man. Does CGI take a hit? Does writing take a hit? Does editing take a hit? And Disney's not the only ones, guys. Warner Brothers had a House of the Dragon mess up in editing, some green screen left in, or green glove, I should say. Cobra Kai, first 3 episodes, Christine and I have watched the first 3 episodes of Cobra Kai. There's a scene where Johnny and one of the kids, I don't want to do any spoilers, but one of the kids are driving in a van, and the screen or the compositing they did, because they're just in a there's just a green screen or blue screen around them. You know, they're doing the old fashioned way people driving cars and shows. It was atrocious looking. And I'm like, man, that's like the easiest thing in the world to do these days is make it look like you're driving in a car. And they couldn't even do that. You know, Netflix spent all their money on Stranger Things. So Disney's not alone in this, but it is frustrating. And even then, man, like you talked about the Disneyfication of things. Jeez, dog, really. We got Daredevil Born Again coming out, and people are scared to death of it because we've had Charlie Cox say things like Daredevil has to be mature, it had a tone, it was set and things like that. But then we have recent interviews, and I've got it up on the screen right now. Charlie Cox spoke with Variety during D23, and he was asked kind of about the tone of the upcoming show, and he goes, I don't know that it will be any more darker or any less dark. What does dark mean? There will be a tonal shift, I'm sure, because we're doing more episodes and we're now on a different platform. I don't know. I haven't read anything yet. And then there was a little bit more. He talked about his episode on She-Hulk. Excuse me. And he goes, what was fun about being in She-Hulk for this one episode is obviously the tone of the show is radically different. And in order for it to be appropriate for me to be in that show, I had to adapt a little bit of my Matt Murdock. So he was in a place in his life where he's having fun, where life is good. And he's a bit cheeky and a bit flirty. And it's tonally slightly different. It was a bit of an experiment, but it was enjoyable, and I had a really good time. He talks about chemistry and things with Tatiana. Oh, okay. So sorry, I was trying to read that as if he was talking about the villain in the character and not Tatiana, the actress that plays Jen and She-Hulk. So he goes, so if they do lighten the tone a little bit, I'm not afraid of that. I am, though. Like, honestly, you're giving us a rated M Marvel Zombies. You've put the Daredevil and Defender shows on Disney Plus. I don't mind him being lighthearted in She-Hulk, because in the comics you have serious characters that get a little bit more lighthearted depending on the comic that they're in, the story going on, and we're all human. I mean, like I said, I'm having a rough week, so I've been in a bad mood for a few days, but I'm still capable of having fun, like, you know, here on the show. But when it comes time to for his show, I mean, after Kingpin and Hawkeye, man, are you not, and after these comments, are you not a little scared?
I'm not scared. I'm just
interest, my
bar,
anticipation.
My bar is a lot lower now as far as what I'm coming to expect. It's just like who cares? I care. That's I guess I'm trying to lessen the blow for myself, I guess, because I'm not expecting the most anymore. I'm not expecting that high quality for the moment, like that Loki series that came out, WandaVision. Oh man, the excitement for when WandaVision was going to come out.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Even Loki.
Yeah.
Was at a high because of the expectations, right?
Yeah.
And we are, you know, and then same thing for the movies. I mean, Shang-Chi delivered. I'll say that.
I think that's probably the most solid movie of Phase 4. If you take the nostalgia out of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's funny because, and you know it's good, because who's directing one of the Avengers movies?
The same guy, exactly. Daniel Cretton. Is that how you say it? I don't remember. Sorry. Don't,
yeah. So you know it's good, because that's how you know, a Disney project was considered successful, because you'll see those directors again and again and again. Sometimes too many times. I'm talking to you, Taika Waititi. As much as I like his films that are non-Disney, they well actually I you know, the other Thor was good. I'm not gonna I'm not going to throw that under the bus.
And it's Destin Daniel Cretton. So I was, yes. I was on the money, but slightly off.
So yeah, I just think that I completely lost my train of thought there.
Sorry.
It's fine. The quality's down. We're getting too much of it. And now you're, and it's cool. Yeah. Am I happy to see Charlie Cox back as Matt Murdock? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'd be so excited to see Matt Coulter back as Luke Cage.
Absolutely.
And I can't remember her name as Jessica Jones.
Dude, you just made me forget it.
But the problem is that they had such a successful run on Netflix now with the dark and gritty tone that is 100%
Kristen Ritter.
Thank you, Kristen Ritter. Who that is 100% missing from Marvel Studios, that I fear that in bringing these characters into the world, like we saw already with Kingpin,
mm-hmm.
you almost end up making a mockery of everything they did. Because you've, again, the same word, you're watering it down. A Daredevil story should be dark and gritty. Hell, the guy's blind, so he's working at night, you know, and
fights
he's
doing mobsters and underworld criminals, not just masked super villains, but like the underworld, man. And like you said, it's got the weight of expectations, and it doesn't have the benefit of time separating it, like Superman had from 77 to mm-hmm. you know the next Superman films with either Returns or Man of Steel. You look at Batman from Adam West to 89, like there's time to forgive and forget for some of those things if they were bad, or just forget if they were really good. There's no time man.
And sometimes even different versions of the character are good. Yeah. I find some great qualities of Henry Cavill's Superman versus, you know, what they did in the 70s. And even Brandon Routh's character, it's fun for certain degrees. Hell, even the Superman we're getting on the CW has actually been, you know, very, very good and decent. And then same thing with Batman. There's something fun about having that. Exactly like comic books, you different writing teams give you different stories, give you a different with different artists, give you different takes on characters. I think that the issue now with Marvel Studios is that it's all the same. It's like that house writer, that house art style.
Yeah,
and you kind of know what to expect from the product. You're going to get a couple of episodes of teasing who the villain is.
Yeah.
Episode 4 or 5, you find out who it is, and then they fight, whatever, and then in the end, I was wrong, and they hug it out, you know.
Or they die.
Kind of, yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly die. And then come back, and they're on the Thunderbolts. The not Thunderbolts. So, like, and then I think that what's going to be even worse is I think that regardless of who's on this team, they're going to compare it to Suicide Squad.
Well, yeah.
And when you do
just like that, everyone compared the first Suicide Squad movie to Guardians. But that was Warner Brothers' fault.
Which is absolutely.
That was Warner Brothers' fault.
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Throw a Queen song in there or something. Do it. Do it now.
It's like, hey, we really like this trailer. It's like, well, yeah, we hired a trailer company to do it. Oh, we'll hire them to do the whole movie, despite the fact that they're a company that does trailers. Yeah, we don't care. That's just really sad, because I want to like I don't like sitting here and saying yeah it's crap or yeah it's not good. Like it's mediocre now at best. But the thing is, they have so many people wrapped around their fingers.
I don't know. Miss Marvel was crap after episode 3.
Miss Marvel, I tried so hard to like it.
It was really mediocre in the final episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
The last one that really I was like, you know what, this is done well, but it was because it was so different. I thought Moon Knight was done well.
Yeah.
And then So as far as some of the TV shows, WandaVision was good until the finale. That's how I feel. Really. Yeah. Winter Soldier was pretty good until it kept repeating the message over and over and over again.
Yeah.
As if nobody was gonna get it.
Yeah.
And then same thing. Same problem with the villain. I thought Loki was great. That had one of the craziest endings because we saw how it connected with everything and how it was. We thought that's when the gears were going to get moving, right?
And gears never started moving. and then we thought it would be Spider-Man. Nope. Then we thought the movie called Multiverse of Madness. Nope.
Yeah,
maybe Quantumania, but I've read quite a few of the leaks, not originally on purpose, but if even half the leaks are true, you're going to be disappointed. If you're looking for big multiversal things, you're still going to be disappointed.
And then, so Moon Knight on its own, great. I enjoyed it. But again, no types of connections. I standalone, fine. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Good. They had a good cast. They had a good story. Moon Knight is just cool.
Oscar Isaac tore it apart.
And then the fact that they added the third personality, I thought was great.
Lockley.
Yep. So then Ms. Marvel was set up to fail because of the fact that I could care less about Captain Marvel. That was a movie about Nick Fury. That's what that was. Nick Fury featuring Captain Marvel. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I don't know. I felt like it was made more for like a teenage girl, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
No issues with you know, splitting up demographics.
No.
Am I missing a show? I don't think so.
And there's What If, there's Hawkeye, there's
Hawkeye was a waste of time. Actually, Kate Bishop was great.
Yeah, I liked it whenever it was her and Clint. That was good.
Kate Bishop was great. I'm not gonna say it was all terrible, but it seemed like unnecessary. Like, why am I watching this? Like, you're introducing characters that are supposed to be important later. I was like, I don't think so. And then just what we're seeing so far from She-Hulk. She-Hulk is just fun. I like She-Hulk because it's fun. And I think at least with this show, I'm like, all right, I'm having a good time because it's almost interactive with the fourth wall. And I'm enjoying it for what it is. I know a lot of, you know, like the whole thing with Megan Thee Stallion was fun. The whole thing with Wong and
Madison, a Y, but not where you think.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Kind of abominations, like just being weird and different and just kind of been like, yeah, I'm a regular dude now. That was okay. Like, it's just good. It's just fun. Her trying to deal with the fact that she's She-Hulk and everybody knows it. I've just enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So, that's okay. But just everything else. Like, I'm honestly worried for Wakanda Forever.
Oh God, yeah.
Like, and I think my biggest worry,
very much,
my biggest worry about it is the fact that I feel that they are going to milk the death of
and that is just gross, Chadwick, to do.
For a good chunk of that movie. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do.
Most people hope you're wrong.
Does he deserve some, you know, a good send-off? Absolutely. But I just have a bad feeling that this movie's going to turn into, like, a mourning...
Exploitation?
A mourning fest.
Exploitation. I mean, when it comes to Wakanda Forever, my biggest fear is Disney misread the room on what they should have done
with
the T'Challa character, and it also makes me worried that they misread the room on who people want to see in a Panther suit next. And we still have no 100% confirmation that any one person will be the one and only Black Panther for this movie, let alone going forward. There's a lot of stuff being kept under wraps, but there's enough out there that we know at least Letitia Wright's I just forgot the sister's name.
Shuri.
Shuri. Thank you. I kept wanting to say Riri, and I was like, no, that's Ironheart.
Yeah.
Shuri, we know that there's a really good chance she's going to at least be in a Panther suit at least once. All right. Right?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my only thing with that is having seen her in both Black Panther and Infinity War, because she doesn't really have any mm-hmm. lines in Endgame, is that she did not seem like she could carry a movie as a lead. And that's not a bad thing. There's lots of actors and actresses that are not lead, and especially when they're young in their career. So it's not me saying she's a bad actress. You need supporting cast, and she did great as a supporting cast, but I did not see her as a lead. I mean, I cannot even try to pronounce her name. The ladies that play the two more, I don't want to say popular, but two more well-known Royal Guards, mm-hmm. Both of them seem like they could carry a scene more. Right. So I'm really worried Marvel went, here's a chance for another girl power moment. And I don't necessarily think that after the death of Chadwick Boseman and completely negating even considering recasting, I don't think that this is necessarily the way to go. I think they may have misread the room here, but we don't know for sure.
So
what do you think?
Yeah. Here's the red flag, and take it how you want, but Riri Williams, Ironheart, mm-hmm. replaces Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Shuri replacing T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
You've downgraded 100%.
Based off of the comic books, even. I mean,
But
we don't know. It might be good.
We don't. And again, want to be proven wrong, but based on what we've seen, this is the assumptions we can make. But and then also, Shuri has never proved the fact that she could hold her own as a Black Panther, because if she could, she would not have been in Endgame with weapons, with firing weapons like guns, like laser beams or whatever the hell, energy blast. She would have had
the Purple Heart fruit yet or whatever.
She would have had her own suit if she was that capable.
I mean, they did just come back. I'll give her a little bit of slack on Endgame, but you are right. It just doesn't feel like they should have had her making an army of Black Panthers. She should have had a Black Panther stealth suit for the lady that was T'Challa's lover. You know, they should have had, because she was a spy.
She'd be a way better Black Panther.
They should have had Shuri designing tank Black Panther suits for M'Baku and his tribe.
The problem with that now is that you're turning Black Panther into Iron Man.
Well, no. What you do for this movie, Wakanda Forever, this one big threat, right? And at the end of it, it all comes back down on whoever's going to be the new. It's like, yeah, we can't have all of this out there going about. We can't, we need that symbol. We need our king or queen, whichever way they do eventually go. But at the end of it is when we should have gotten a big reveal. And I don't know.
You know what I'd even take, and it would be compelling, but they would never mm-hmm. do something like this, is have Killmonger coming back at some point.
A lot of people wanted that. He should have been on Thunderbolts.
Yeah, take that. Really? No, I don't think so. I don't think he's a Thunderbolts kind of team player. Killmonger king, because of we don't have anyone else. And then have almost like an Ocean Master type of situation where at some point most of the kingdom realized that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And have somebody kind of build them up to then fight him. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the next movie, not this one, take over as the rightful Black Panther. Yeah. We've established credibility. And we've seen him take on this, be able to defeat the same bad, if not a bigger threat now as a king. I think that works, but keep obviously the entire time Killmonger as a villain.
Yeah.
So
I can see that.
I think that, you know, just the internal fight as in the family, the royal thing, I think it would have been great. That won't happen, of course, because more than likely what they would do is bring Killmonger back and all of a sudden make him sympathetic.
Yeah, he would. I mean, and don't get us wrong, guys, their redemption stories should exist as well.
But not every movie. You know, like, guess what they did in the Batman? They didn't redeem the Riddler.
No, nope.
he's just fucking crazy. And even in the cell, like that's what happened. The Penguin, for example, he's just a mobster. That's it. There's nothing. There's no underlying story about. Well, of course, I don't even know if he's gonna have it still, but now I suppose he's gonna have a series and everything. But you know, just keep people bad. Also, like, they don't have to be good. I think. Heck, even as much of a good guy that they've turned Harley Quinn into, at some points, even during her animated run, and even in the comics, she'll go apeshit and kill a few people because in her core, she's still a crazy villain.
Yeah.
And if she's passionate enough about something, she loses control and 100% turns back into that villain.
Hey, gotta be willing to crack a few eggs to make that omelet, Disney.
Yeah, but right now, everything's a love story.
That's a good way to put it.
And then it waters down to what they're doing with the parks too.
Yeah.
So.
Ever since I turned, I think I was like 10, 11, and discovered roller coasters, like real roller coasters, not just the Matterhorn or Space Mountain, but I have not been one for Disney parks because I am a rider, not a. Yeah. I like immersion. Don't get me wrong. Like Universal Studios, they balance it real, real well. You know, I cannot wait to get down to Orlando and ride the Velocicoaster. That looks amazing. But like all the things, like the Spider-Man ride, the Hulk coaster, even the Harry Potter rides, all manage to blend immersion and thrills a lot better than Disney does.
Yeah, they have a little bit of
it. Everything. Is what it is,
you know. Even the old as Waterworld show is still fun.
Yeah.
From time to time, then you have like things like the Mummy. They have haunted experiences also. Like it's such, they have something for everyone. It's a really good blend. The ride I miss the most, just because of the immersion that it put you in the film, is probably, I'd say, Terminator.
Oh yeah, I got to see that.
I love Terminator
twice,
and then
twice.
I also miss and then riding the Simpsons ride made me really miss Back to the Future.
Yeah. You know, Christine and I were some of the last people to ride Orlando's Back to the Future because it closed down the year we got married. And where did we do our honeymoon? Universal Orlando. Aww. So yeah, we were some of the last people to ride the ride. I was very, very thankful for that. So yeah. Cool.
All right.
Anyways, we don't really have time for. Oh, you got a kitty too. We don't really have time to talk about the PlayStation State of Play or the Nintendo Direct.
We can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we can talk a bit about it tomorrow, guys. Hi, kitty. What's your cat's name again?
He's Schmidt from New Girl.
Okay.
He is just as. Show. He's if you watch New Girl, you know why my cat's named Schmidt. He's a sassy bitch.
There you go, guys. Check out lrmonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions, celebrity interviews, written reviews, as well as articles covering news, leaks, rumors, all of that good stuff.
Okay.
Get stuck, kitty. You can access our podcasts from there. Most of them get write-ups if I'm, you know, able to. All the podcasts are on your favorite podcast apps. Great shows like Anime Versal Reviews, Finishing Up Classroom of the Elite season two over the next 2 weeks. The Cantina and Marvel Multiverse Mayhem do Star Wars and Marvel reviews and news, respectively. We have the Rings of Power review show we cleverly call Review of the Rings. I cannot believe that wasn't taken. Can you believe that was not taken? That's such a good name. Anyway, guys, we also, of course, have Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, and the Daily Cup of Genre, doing everything in entertainment news. You get a couple extra things here on the YouTube channel. Besides our ugly mugs, you also get anime reactions on AVR Squared and trailer reactions via the Genre Shot series. So, yeah, guys, check all of that out. Thanks to 490 subs so far on YouTube. Help us break 500. this week, guys. It'd be great. Manny, anything else you wanted to throw out today?
For tomorrow's show, I may be doing it remotely.
Okay.
I will be on my way. I think so. I haven't I've been told that I've got a thumbs up, but I haven't got the confirmation. I'll be going down to Burbank to the Disney Animation Studio, as I've been invited. So cool. But I will be on the road at around this time. Stop it. So
I'll pick a really good picture for you, Manny. Well, you'll be audio only. That'll be all right. I'll pick a really good picture.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch me drive.
Ridiculous face I can find out of all of our old videos.
I'm sure you have quite a few of them. That'll be nice to record tomorrow morning. That way I'm not all alone on the road.
I hate driving alone. All right, guys. See you next. I thought you were telling me no.
No, the cat's right. Trying to eat my mouse.
All right, guys. Ironically. We'll get out of here. Bye.
It's here, Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry, Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.